Good morning, everyone. I feel like Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz this morning. I've just got blown in. It's good to see everyone, and welcome to those that are on Zoom this morning. And as you can probably tell, we're dropping like flies at the moment, so I think we'll pray extra prayers for those that are unwell amongst us today. So as I hinted at last week, today is Stir Up Sunday. So if you weren't here last week, you're going, what? But also, for some traditions who follow the church calendar, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, being the last Sunday of the church year, and next week beginning the new church year with four Sundays in Advent. And Stir It Up Sunday is not just to remind us to stir up our Christmas puddings, if you've not done that already, but also that we would pray that we too would be stirred up to be the people of God and to do the good works that God has planned for each one of us to do. So you've got no excuse either way. If you've not made your Christmas puddings or you're not going too tough, but that God would stir us up. And as many of us are already looking forward to Christmas and Advent preparations, today helps us to remember that the event of Christmas isn't just about the baby in a manger, but it's about our sovereign Christ, Christ the King. So I'm going to take us back to Palm Sunday, like I do, where the crowds have been trying to make Jesus their kind of king for a long time now. They want to make Jesus their kind of king. They have expectations of what he would be. And it makes us think again about what kind of king do we expect Jesus to be? Who is Christ the King in our lives as he talks and brings the kingdom of truth? And so Psalm 93, which is a hymn of praise about the divine kingship, God's kingly rule over all creation, says, "The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days." Amen. So let's join together and sing number 575. Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
That woke you all up, didn't it? Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, King of Kings, we come this day rejoicing in the presence of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. At his birth, the angels proclaimed his name to be Emmanuel, God with us. The shepherds came and left, rejoicing and praising and glorifying and spreading the word. The kings came and bowed down in worship, in joy at what they had witnessed. Today, in this place, in this time of worship, may we truly feel the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. May our hearts and spirits be warmed and challenged to proclaim with our lives that Christ is King. Lord, as we come to prepare our hearts again for Advent, as we think about the events leading up to that first Christmas day, as we think about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, his wonderful birth, those great healing moments, the teachings that have sustained his people throughout the centuries. As we bowed our heads at the sight of the crucifixion and rejoice with those witnesses on the sunrise of Easter when Jesus conquered our greatest fear of death. We celebrate the good news of the disciples as they risked everything to finally proclaim the good news to all people. And so today, Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus, enter our hearts. Come and take your reign. Lord, remind us that your kingdom is a kingdom of hope and light, in which there is no darkness, fear, or sadness. You have called us to be kingdom people, living our lives in the knowledge that peace and justice and hope are not only possible, but can actually be the ruling factor of the world for those who would follow you. Lord, we know there are many who do not acknowledge your presence or your name, but in your infinite love and mercy, you have acknowledged and claimed them. Help us to be the kind of disciples that welcome everyone with the words of kindness that offer acts of mercy and peace to all in need. To proclaim Christ risen and glorified. Lord, as we started the service this morning, we realise that there are many not amongst us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would place your healing hand upon them, that they would know your peace and your comfort at this time. And Lord, that we would come back together as your family to worship and celebrate with joy all that you are to us. Lord, we ask that you would open all our hearts to the healing and comfort that can only be received through you. That we are never out of your grace and your mercy. That you would give us the strength and the wisdom to be true disciples. And Lord, today as we hear the news again of the assisted dying bill, Lord, I want to add our prayers alongside those of the faith leaders. And just pray, Lord, that your will be done on Friday during the discussions and the vote. As people of faith, Lord, we believe in the compassionate response to end of life. We believe that all life belongs to you. We pray, Lord, for all those that will be struggling with this decision, that all voices would be heard. We pray, Lord, that there would be love and understanding. And Lord, that people would seek your guidance. Those with a Christian voice particularly, Lord, would be empowered to make a stand. But Lord, each of us has a voice. And so, Lord, if we need to contact our politicians or our MPs, Lord, then prompt us to do so. But Lord, sometimes we feel helpless in all situations when we see the war and the unrest and the fear and everything going on in our world. But Lord, you help us to remember that you are the God of peace, the God of love, the God of joy, and the God of hope. And so, Lord, I again thank and praise you that Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. That in his grace, Lord, that he came into the world to testify of the truth of God's word and to bring to salvation all who will hear his voice and trust in his saving grace. So, Lord, may we continue to be those who would spread your word, your good news, this Advent and always. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue in worship as we sing number 251, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear.
How sweet the name of Jesus.
So as I was saying, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday because it's about our sovereign Christ. The theme of the Lordship of Christ is integral to the message of the entire New Testament and certainly to our faithful practice of Christian worship. This Sunday aims to focus our attention and our worship on the cosmic character of Christ's reign over the entire world. As I said, we're going to go back to Palm Sunday. We can't read chapters 18 and 19 of the Gospel of John, which cover the trial and the crucifixion and the burial of our Lord Jesus, without noting that there are some very carefully selected events which John records. He leaves out many of the incidents that the other Gospel writers include, while supplying details that they leave out, because we remember that John is writing well after the circulation of the other three Gospels. And so he leaves the other nitty-gritty bits to the other writers. And so I'll ask Steve if he'll bring our reading to us this morning.
Good morning. So this morning's reading comes from John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. And if you want to follow it in the Bibles, it's at the bottom of page 1086. So it's verses 28 to 40. Headed up, Jesus before Pilate. When the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor, by now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising.
As we hear again Pilate's interrogation of Jesus, it makes it clear that he's not attempting to overthrow Roman control. On the contrary, Jesus makes it clear that the kingdom that he came to establish is not political or worldly. And John will record later on in Revelation chapter 19, future events where Jesus does come to rule on earth. But that's not the purpose of his first coming. In a moment of incredible irony, Pilate dismissively quips about truth while turning away from the one who is the truth. And we'll think about that in a moment. First of all, let's sing 1072, In Christ Alone. Let's pray. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Lord, we know that we can only stand in that power when we hear your voice, when we hear your word, when you fill our hearts by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, open us now to receive your word to each one of us. Amen. Who am I? Was the question I asked. That's a rhetorical question. I do not need an answer. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who am I? No. Do you ever feel like you're a different person for a different people?
Yes.
You put a face on? Or you're just the same always? I'm not interfering in marital disagreements. Do you sometimes change who you are and how you present yourself depending on where you are or who you're with, if you're honest with yourselves?
Yes.
I think we all do, don't we, really, if we think about it really hard. Much is said about how people present their lives on social media posts. Usually the best of their lives, their best holidays, their best outings, their best food, their best dresses, their best hair. And there are copious amounts of self-help books promoting being yourself. I always want to add whatever that is. But I only promote one book, and that is God's Word, that we would be the person that God wants us to be, knowing who we are in Christ. If you look up identity, because that's what many of our, particularly our young people, struggle with at the moment, it's a set of physical, mental, emotional, social, and interpersonal characteristics that are unique to you. Aren't you glad I looked that up? As if life wasn't hard enough. The word often promotes titles that identity is a combination of many factors. So we have our given identity, that's our gender, our place of birth, our race, our physical characteristics. We have our core identity, that's our personality, our behaviours, our values and our beliefs. And we have our chosen identity, our status, our skills, our residence, our occupation, education and anything else, blah, 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 blah. So I ask again. Who am I? In some situations and with some people, I'm comfortable in my own skin. There's integrity and alignment between who I say I am, my words and my actions, and the values and truth that rule my life. Everything lines up. I'm honest, I'm whole, and I'm real. But in other settings and with people, and other people, I change. My introvert personality takes over, and I'm not the real me. Maybe it's insecurity, maybe it's doubt. I present a different me. Despite wanting to be authentic and having integrity to share my views and my values. As I read today's passage on Christ the King Sunday, I learn much from the way that Jesus conducts himself in the face of danger, contentious questioning, testing, and ridicule, using silence sometimes to maintain his authenticity and his integrity. During his 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus is prepared for his ministry. strengthened by the Holy Spirit, affirming his identity, his ministry, and the truth to which he would testify. He's prepared for what's happening now as he stands before Pilate, and for what is to come as he heads towards the cross. We too need those wilderness times, even though they are difficult. Who am I? What am I about? What values guide my life? What are the truths to which I must bear witness? Maybe the real temptation of the wilderness is to be other than who we really are. That temptation, however, is not limited to the wilderness. It's the temptation that meets us wherever we go. Identity, action, and truth are the three questions at the heart of today's conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And I want to use those questions and the conversations between them as a lens through which to reflect our own lives. As I said just before the reading, we can't look at chapters 18 and 19 of John's Gospel without noticing that they're very carefully selected events in John's record. John's had a lot more, many more years and a lot more time to reflect on what he had witnessed as he accompanied Jesus through his ministry. He doesn't have to include all the stuff that Matthew and Mark and Luke put in theirs, because that's already out there. He wants to talk more and share more about his personal reflections, what he saw, what he noticed, how he saw Jesus conduct himself. As I said on Palm Sunday, the people, they wanted to make Jesus their kind of king. They had expectations of who they wanted him to be, that he would come in on a white charger and destroy the Roman Empire. And if you remember, he came in on a donkey and he didn't. So they quickly turned against him, their king. And now, as we know what follows, they want to crucify him for, perhaps in their eyes, perceived failure. So if we look at verse 33, Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It's like asking, isn't it, "Who are you?" Pilate wants a yes or no answer, a definition. He wants information. Jesus knows that it's not a simple question answered by yes or no. Jesus deepens and changes the direction of Pilate's question. "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" There is challenge in Jesus' response. He's almost like he's saying to Pilate, "Who's leading your life? The others or you?" And it's the same question that perhaps we could ask ourselves if we dare to. Who is it for you? Who is it, or what is it, that directs our lives today? Is it the others? Or is it the gospel of Jesus Christ and the values or qualities we find expressed within them? Whatever directs our life also identifies and defines us. It tells us who we are and who we are not. Who or what is directing our life today? Are we who we want to be? There are so many more questions, and we need to ask them of Jesus in the lens of prayer. And so Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Emphasis on the word "you." By now, Pilate's curiosity is aroused. He looks at Jesus and wonders what's behind all of what's going on. Jesus couldn't answer a simple yes or a no. If he had have said no, Pilate would have imagined that he was not a king at all. If he'd said yes, then Pilate would have thought that this was a king according to Jewish standards and that he was a threat to Caesar. So Jesus says to him, "How are you asking that question? Are you asking it as a Jew or as a Roman?" And Pilate's response, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation has delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." You see Jesus moving the question from the outside to the inside. As if Jesus is saying, you can't understand what I've done apart from the values that I hold. For Jesus, the kingdom represents God's ultimate values, God's desires and best hopes for the world, for you and for me. And so by Jesus saying, my kingdom is not of this world, verses 36 to 37. If my kingdom were this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world. Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king for this purpose. I was born and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And here we hear the one who is the truth speaking. This was Pilate's critical moment. What Jesus is saying is, yes, I am a king. And Pilate understood that. But my kingship is not of this world. Well, it's not the kind of kingship that you think. But I am a king. You have said the truth. And that's what he means when he says, you say that I am a king. I was born a king, he says. The work of a king is to make people face the way that things really are, to unveil the truth. Therefore, everyone who loves truth will listen to me. That was Pilate's cue. It was a test of whether he truly loved the truth. And he responds in whatever way and whatever emphasis you want to put in it. What is truth? Ironically, the one that was charged with determining the truth in this matter glibly dismisses the relevance of truth in the very presence of the one who is truth incarnate. It is a cynical, weary answer. The response of someone who has been trying to find a way out of his predicament but has lost all confidence in religion or any other guide. He decides that Jesus is no threat to Rome and hands him back. I find no guilt in him. He seeks no answer from the one who could actually give him the answers that he needs. Our actions and words reveal the values that we hold, and the values that we hold are expressed in what we do and what we say. Our outside and our inside are always in relationship, sometimes through alignment and other times through contradiction. What have we done? Look at what we're doing in our lives today. Perhaps we should listen more to what we're saying or what we're posting on social media. Advent is a great time for reflection. Perhaps we can consider what we have done throughout this year. What values are being revealed and affirmed or contradicted? What do they have to do with the gospel? Is it who we want to be and how we want to live? And if it's not, then what can we do about it? We see Pilate concluding, so you are a king. For Jesus, truth is not a fact, a concept, or a proposition. Truth is a way of being. It's something to be done, not believed in. To make truth a belief is actually too easy. I can believe in the truth of love, but am I loving? Am I loving my neighbour? Am I loving you? Am I loving my enemy? That's the hard one, isn't it? I can believe the truth of forgiveness, but does it matter if I don't forgive? I can believe the truth of welcoming the stranger and still close my doors and heart to the refugee and the migrant. And if I'm not doing the truth, it doesn't much matter what I say or what I believe. Jesus testified to the truth by doing the truth, by loving, forgiving, welcoming, healing, feeding. What about us? What is the truth in our lives today? What truth are we doing? What truth is still waiting to be done by us? Jesus never let his identity, his action or truth, his truth doing, be determined by where he was or who he was with. Instead, he brought it to every place that he went, every person that he met, every situation that he faced. Who he was here is who he was over there. And that's kind of how I want to be. How about you? The same person in all situations and circumstances, powered by the Holy Spirit. Our struggle for authenticity and integrity is the struggle to reclaim ourselves, to be the people that Jesus, our King, wants us to be. That's why he died, so that we could be the people that God wanted us to be. It's the way of healing and of wholeness. It's always a work in progress, so don't panic. For those of you who looked at my question and then went, I'm not answering that yet. It's not a bosh, it's a time. Every place we go, every person that we meet, every circumstance that we face, we must hold before us those questions. Who do I say that I am? And am I really who I say I am? Who am I in Jesus? Jesus will have no part of being our sort of king, because Jesus is committed to being God's sort of king. And that's the good news. He's committed to being God's King of Kings. And so as we think about our own identity, be sure, like Jesus, our core identity is that God chose each one of us. He knows everything about us, even that we don't like to admit to ourselves. Because the Lord looks at our hearts. Our identity in Christ means that all our self-worth and our purpose and value comes from God. Our identity is in God who made us, and not in what others say about us, or even what we say and feel about ourselves. Our identity then is a gift from God. It becomes central to who we are and affects all the other aspects of what we are and who we do as individuals. The Bible teaches that a person's identity is found in their relationship with Jesus Christ and not defined by external factors like accomplishments or possessions. As somebody once pointed out to me, it's not that we talk about at funerals, is it? How much they were worth and what they'd had. It's about how they were in life, to their family, to their friends. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. My identity in Christ Jesus, I want to be true to that. Speak truth into and out of that. We started by singing, rejoice, the Lord is King. Don't identify by what the world says about you. Trust instead in your precious, sure identity as a child of God, which can never change. And take your stand, speak the truth, and take your place in the kingdom of truth with our King of Kings. Amen. Came across a reflection, and so it's up to you if you want to close your eyes just to concentrate. It's called What is Truth? What is truth? Pilate stared at the tired Galilean Jew in front of him. Jesus was silent. Pilate's eyes widened. What is truth? He repeated more firmly. Jesus didn't blink or speak. There were no words to reply. Jesus was answering the question. simply by being, the sheer fact of his existence, his embodiment of all that is holy, answered the question. The truth is never in words. It was always, is always, the Word. The truth is a person named Jesus, the person we understand to be the Christ, the King of Kings. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth. This truth, this person, promised we would encounter him in others, in the hungry, in the sick, in the lonely, in the imprisoned, in the thirsty, in the outcasts. The truth is in them. And so I pray, thank you that we too have been given the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel of grace and have been transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of your dear Son. May we be faithful witnesses to the truth of the gospel. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 41. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, because one day they will. Just want to say thank you to Jo, because she did step in at the very last minute and hasn't had a lot of time, but it doesn't matter. We sang a joyful noise. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come and to worship you as King of Kings. And so I pray, Lord, that each one of us would go now in peace. We would bring the good news of God's eternal love, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to all that we would meet. Go in peace. Amen.